Chapter 2 Alistair leaves him alone to get dressed and goes downstairs to settle up with the innkeeper for the cost of the room. Zevran amuses himself by imagining the conversation. Alistair, no doubt blushing and stammering, the innkeeper bored and disinterested. If he'd had any doubts about his initial impression of this inn, that it was a place where no one asked questions, they've now been laid to rest. Gag or no gag, someone must have heard him screaming, and no one came to investigate. Even after the potion, Zevran isn't moving very fast, and so he's mildly surprised that Alistair hasn't returned by the time he's finished dressing. He could wait in the room, he supposes, but there's nothing here he wants to see again, and too many memories to make it comfortable. Despite the exhaustion sapping his strength, habit makes him descend the stairs silently, and so he catches sight of the ridiculously large bag of coin on the counter before it's swept away by the innkeeper. Alistair jumps a little when he sees him, looking guilty, but Zevran waits until they're out in the street before he says, "You might have had the room for an entire year for that much coin." Alistair shrugs, looking guiltier. I paid him what I thought it was worth." It's a lie, and Zevran squints at him until Alistair growls and says, "I paid him to send a runner for me the next time that man is there." Zevran sighs. "The one you chased from his room?" The scowl he receives in turn is thunderous. "Yes." "He did nothing I didn't want," Zevran points out. They walk in silence for a while, Alistair frowning at the road as if it's offended him. Zevran thinks the conversation is over by the time Alistair asks, "Did it matter to him that you wanted it?" One corner of Zevran's mouth curls in a smile. "No." Alistair nods as if he's won the argument, and Zevran bites back another sigh as he says, "You cannot fight every wolf you meet." "I can't fight every wolf in the world," Alistair corrects, "but I won't walk away if I meet one." Zevran has no energy to fight with him, and probably no argument Alistair would find compelling even if he cared to make it. They walk the rest of the way back to Eamon's estate in silence, and they part at their separate doors with only a nod. Tired as he is, Zevran knows he won't be able to sleep for a while yet, so he trades his armor for a loose shirt and trousers before beginning a series of stretches. The Elfroot will have healed the damage, but he needs to prove to himself that his body is once again whole. Out in the doorway, a door opens and closes very quietly, and Zevran pauses, curious. At this hour of night, no one should be up, and certainly no one should be sneaking around. Zevran has a sinking feeling he knows who it is. But when no one knocks at his door, he unfolds himself and goes to peek out into the corridor. He looks out just in time to see Alistair disappear around a corner. Curiosity wins over exhaustion, so Zevran follows, closing his door with all the stealth Alistair lacks. It isn't difficult to shadow him, though it does give Zevran pause as he realizes exactly how unaware he was this afternoon. Alistair must have followed him on his hunt through the city, and he never once noticed, too focused on finding someone who could give him what he needed. The irony isn't lost on him that Alistair turned out to be more than capable in that regard. Zevran rubs his shoulder where the burn used to be, the first one Alistair touched, then drops his hand when he realizes what he's doing. They wind up in the private chantry Eamon uses when it's only family present. There's a larger one in another wing of the manor, gilded and elaborate, designed to demonstrate the Arl's power as much as his devotion to the Maker. But this is the one Eamon uses when he wants to pray rather than impress. Apparently, it's also the one Alistair prefers, and he must have used it in the past, because he navigates the benches easily, even in the dark. He lights a single candle at the altar, then goes to one knee and clasps his hands together, dropping his forehead to rest on his interlaced fingers. A whisper of sound makes it as far as the door, where Zevran lingers, the words indistinguishable from this distance. dark as it is, it's a simple matter to slip closer, setting his feet down carefully so that not even the scuff of a sole on stone will betray his presence. Still, he's almost on top of Alistair before he can make out the words. "Though all before me is shadow," Alistair whispers, "yet shall the Maker be my guide." Zevran has never believed in the Maker, or in any power higher than the Guildmaster's, but his scalp tightens at the desperation in Alistair's voice. "I shall not be left to wander the drifting roads of the beyond," Alistair continues, "for there is no darkness in the Maker's light, and nothing that he has wrought shall be lost." His voice breaks on the last word, and the candlelight catches a tear as it splashes on his knee, darkening the fabric of his trousers. Zevran stares at it, and at the other dark patches that appear as more tears fall. Looking at Alistair's face feels like too great a violation right now. Zevran's mere presence is a violation, but his feet won't move. "I am not alone," Alistair murmurs, his voice unsteady, and Zevran thinks the world is better off without a god who could ignore this. "Even as I stumble on the path with my eyes closed, yet I see the light is here." At last, Zevran persuades his feet to move, and he backs out of the chapel twice as carefully as he entered, nearly holding his breath until he's in the hallway once again. He doesn't run to his room, but he does walk faster than normal. Sleep is now an impossibility, and Zevran doesn't even try. Instead, he cleans his gear and sharpens his knives and practices as best he can without an opponent or a training dummy. Alistair returns to his room before dawn, his footsteps barely audible. Zevran pauses until his door closes behind him, then resumes practicing. After dawn, when the others have risen and gone down to breakfast, Zevran crosses the hall and lets himself into Alistair's rooms. It's much the same as his own, perhaps a little larger, the rug a little more expensive, but still a little sparse for a man who might be king, 2 months from now, except for the small matter of an archdemon and a blight. Zevran tries to imagine Alistair dead, and something cold settles in his chest. He brushes the thought away, the same way he brushes aside thoughts of Rina and Taliesin, all of them equally painful. That gives him pause. How strange that those memories should hurt now when they didn't yesterday. He almost wishes for the emptiness back, almost hates Alistair for ruining it. Except he knows none of this is Alistair's fault. He sits on the bed and waits, deliberately thinking about nothing at all. Waiting is something he has plenty of practice with, and he knows how to stay alert without exhausting himself. Even if Alistair doesn't return until tonight, which is unlikely, Zevran will be ready. That trained patience proves to be unnecessary. Alistair returns soon enough, with a wrapped bundle in his hands. He almost drops that bundle when he sees Zevran, and the cloth slips enough to reveal an apple and what might be a loaf of bread. "Something for later?" Zevran asks lightly, gesturing at the food. Alistair turns red and looks away. It was for you, but then I thought maybe I shouldn't wake you up." "How convenient," Zevran says, because teasing Alistair is far better than thinking about how such a gesture makes him feel. "As this is the time when I usually eat." That gets him a shy smile, and Zevran thinks, with a startling clarity, this needs to end. Because nothing about his relationship with Alistair is simple anymore. There are no clear lines, and neither of them has any idea what they're doing. But when he tries to say that, what comes out is, "Did the cheese survive the trip, or did you eat it all?" Alistair's smile broadens, still sweet, but no longer shy. And the same voice shouts in his head, "This needs to end now." He ignores it and takes the bundle from Alistair, opening it in his lap to find the cheese did, in fact, survive the trip from the main hall. "Eat with me," he says, patting the bed beside him. Alistair sits, but doesn't eat, shaking his head when Zevran offers him a piece of cheese. "I already ate," he says. He's not lying, but he also doesn't usually turn down food, much less cheese. Zevran tries not to frown at him, or at the way he watches so intently as Zevran eats, as if he's waiting for a sign of something. Pain, perhaps. As if he didn't give Zevran enough elf fruit last night to cure anything short of death. If Zevran were in pain, it would be none of Alistair's doing. Not now. They eat in silence, except for the voice in Zevran's head chanting, "End it! End it!" Which he ignores. Or tries to, but it doesn't make it easy to collect his thoughts and remember what he came in here to say. It doesn't get any easier to focus once he's finished eating, because he's no sooner dusted off his hands than Alistair is dragging him forward into a hard kiss. This is also not what Zevran came here for, but he doesn't fight it. If this is what Alistair wants, then Zevran is happy to give it to him. Sex is always preferable to stewing over his own thoughts. Not that Alistair gives him much of a chance to do anything but lie there. He strips Zevran naked so fast the shirt tears a little, and then his hands and mouth are everywhere, touching all the places he touched last night, somehow frantic and gentle at the same time. He doesn't even hold still long enough to undress himself, or for Zevran to do it for him. When he's kissed nearly every inch of Zevran's body, his mouth closes around Zevran's cock, sucking and licking until he's completely hard. His body is pinning Zevran's legs, and his mouth is hot and significantly more talented than it was a few months ago. And Zevran would much rather do this than think. Alistair lifts his head enough to say, "Give me your hands." Zevran reaches down, but only to tug on Alistair's hair. As good as it feels to let Alistair suck him, he knows what Alistair likes best. "I want you to fuck me," he says, because it's true, but also because he needs to find some small way to make this more about Alistair than about him. He needs this relationship back on the right track, though last night made him realize exactly how far they've drifted. "Let me do this," Alistair says, ducking his head back down to lick the head of Zevran's cock. "I want to do this." He's always a terrible liar. Even his half-truths are obvious to anyone who knows him. Without warning, Zevran twists out from under him, using surprise to his advantage to flip Alistair onto his back. His hand closes on Alistair's groin a moment before Alistair catches his wrist and pulls him away. But a moment is all he needs. Alistair is flushed, his eyes fixed on a point over Zevran's shoulder, his mouth pressed into a thin line. "Why start this if you didn't want it?" Zevran asks, careful to keep his tone curious rather than accusing. It's not clear for a moment whether Alistair will actually answer him, but then he sighs and says, "Because I wanted to know you were all right." "Why would I not be?" Zevran asks. "So much elf fruit would cure nearly anything." "I needed to know," Alistair says. His gaze is almost a challenge when he finally meets Zevran's eyes. It's not the same just knowing that a potion should work. Zevran remembers his own exercise last night, stretching and twisting to prove to himself that no injury remained. Arguing with Alistair about this is pointless because he understands it far too well. "Why not simply ask?" "I thought you'd laugh at me," Alistair mutters, looking away again. There isn't much Zevran can say to that. It's very possible he would have laughed, or found some other way to divert Alistair's attention, so he could try once again to push this relationship back into the box it was supposed to fit inside. Words are useless here, Zevran knows, as they so often are with Alistair. Perhaps with good reason, given Zevran's own tendency to tell whatever version of the truth suits him. He slips out of Alistair's now loose grip and stands, holding his arms out wide so his body is on display, as he turns in a slow circle. "Don't mock me," Alistair says softly, and it sounds a little too much like begging for Zevran's comfort. "I do not," he says just as softly, completing his turn. Alistair is sitting on the edge of the bed, watching him. You wished to know I was healed, to see it for yourself. Now you can see. I want to know, not just see. When he reaches out to touch, Zevran steps closer, letting him run his fingers wherever he wants. It's not sexual, or at least it's only vaguely sexual. By now, Zevran's body has made a rather embarrassing connection between sex and Alistair's touch, and it's difficult not to be a little aroused by the contact. But he thinks he does a reasonably good job of keeping it under control. Better? He asks eventually. Some, Alistair says, curling one hand around Zevran's waist. There are so many things Zevran could say right now, so many ways he could move this conversation. But there's only one that feels right. It's not the one he wants, and maybe not the one Alistair wants, but they're words he needs to say. Last night, he says, and Alistair's hand tightens. You could have said no. Alistair shakes his head, and Zevran catches his face in both hands, forcing his head up. I am not the only one allowed to say it, he says forcefully. You could have said no. I didn't want to, Alistair blurts out. Or I did, but I didn't. He makes an irritated noise deep in his throat and tries again. I wanted to give you that, even if I didn't like it. The voice in Zevran's head has abandoned words and is just screaming endlessly now. He ignores it and whispers, thank you. His throat tries to close, but he swallows once and makes himself finish. Failure to acknowledge the debt won't make it any less. I owe you a great deal for that. You don't owe me anything, Alistair says. He closes his eyes and his voice drops to a whisper as he says, but I can't do it again. Not today. Not so soon. Not ever? Zevran asks. Not soon, Alistair says. If that's what you need, I would try. But please don't ask me for it today. His eyes are still closed, and he jerks a little when Zevran leans down to rest their foreheads together. Not soon, Zevran agrees. This relationship is so far beyond its proper boundaries, Zevran can't even imagine how he could get it back where it's supposed to be. But as he gets Alistair undressed and into bed, as he stretches himself out with his head on Alistair's chest and Alistair's arms tight around him, he's not entirely sure he cares. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.